Today's Stu Peters Show and every Stu Peters Show brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management. Don't do business with communists. Why in the world would you ever put your entire life savings in the hands of somebody who's manipulated by Wall Street, manipulated by the Biden regime, controlled by the CCP? These are all those big box financial firms. Do business with a God-fearing patriot, an independent fiduciary. Carlos Cortez is a family man, and he loves this republic. Call him in the office anytime at 813-448-3446 or visit him online worldwide at CortezWM.com. That's CortezWM.com. It's finally Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Friday, the 17th of September, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. For nearly all of 2021, millions of people, mostly ordinary folks like you and me, have been asking questions about the vaccine that Joe Biden wants to force every living organism on the planet to take. We've asked why, if the vaccine is so great, coronavirus seems as bad as ever in Israel, the country that adopted vaccines more enthusiastically than any other country. We've asked why is the vaccine adverse events reporting system maintained by the CDC, showing over 14,000 deaths from people after getting the jab? Why did they stop counting on September 3rd, almost 2 weeks ago? And why doesn't anybody seem terribly interested in investigating any of this? And for the most part, all of those questions have been ignored. Leaders don't care much about convincing ordinary people. They only care about crushing us and forcing us to obey. But it's a fitting symbol of 2021 that one person they do have to convince is a sexed up pop star. You can't remove Nicki Minaj's videos from YouTube. You can't ban her for life from Facebook and Twitter. Nicki Minaj has dominated the news cycle all week because she doesn't buy official narratives on the vaccine, and she's too rich and too popular to simply unperson. The Biden administration wants to send police and healthcare officials to your door carrying needles, carrying syringes. Bring your kid to the door. They need jabbed. But they can't do that for Nicki Minaj. According to Minaj herself, the White House invited her to visit. They sent two separate people, both black, of course, to say that she was lying about the personal experiences of her own family. But you can't blame them for being nervous. Because not long after telling her story, Minaj was questioning other narratives the Biden administration wants everybody to believe. She was sharing Tucker Carlson clips. If they don't get her under control, she'll tell more than 20 million followers that systemic racism is a hoax too. Well, the Biden administration and the CDC can call Nicki Minaj a liar. They can call her whatever they want. But for millions of other Americans, Minaj's story rings true. They've seen people in their own personal and work lives whose health has taken a turn for the worse after getting the jab. Some have friends, some have family members who have died unexpectedly. And these people are not going to be silenced by what a few aging fat buffoons in Washington want to tell them to think. Amber Lemons is a registered nurse practicing in Oklahoma with nearly 10 years of experience. She currently works in a step-down unit from ICU, but she's also worked in intensive care and hospice care. So in short, she's seen everything, or at least everything relevant to COVID-19. And like so many other nurses who have appeared on this show, Amber has seen enough behavior around COVID-19 to be alarmingly suspicious. She says they're manipulating stats on COVID infections. She says they're distorting the data on how many COVID hospitalizations there are and how long they last. She has seen the nursing shortage firsthand and the lies they tell to explain why it's happening. And she's angry enough that despite all the risks from speaking out, she's asked to come on this program, and she joins us now. Amber, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So you emailed the program. You said they're manipulating statistics on COVID infections. Who is they and how are they manipulating these numbers?
I think it's the people who released the narrative to begin with. We're in an era of censorship right now. Google, your mainstream medias, they're all censored. They all follow the same narrative. So if you go to Google and type something into a search bar, it's going to be the same information you're going to get from, let's say, CNN or any other news outlet that you turn on to watch TV.
Or Fox News or any of them. And so what you're saying, in short, is that what the media is telling us, what Google is telling us, what the internet is telling us, what social media is allowing to be told, these are lies. This is not what's happening in the hospital.
They're scaring us. They're trying to scare people into getting a vaccine. or lock us down again.
Got it. So the jabs, the shots being referred to as approved vaccines, have you seen injuries from these things in your hospital?
We have. People are coming in, younger people coming in with cardiac arrhythmias. They've never had any history of any cardiovascular issues in their new onsets, so abnormal heart rhythms. We're seeing deep vein thrombosis, which is a blood clot. Those clots can break off and migrate up to someone's lung, which is a very life-threatening illness to be dealing with, and it warrants immediate care.
Are the providers, the doctors at your hospital, are they reporting these vaccine injuries as vaccine injuries?
No, nothing is being reported. Nothing's being reported and nothing is being said about it. And when somebody does try to bring it up, it's just pretty much ignored. Or, well, the safety outweighs the risks. The benefits outweigh the risks.
Have these providers or doctors told you what benefits it is specifically that they're talking about? Because it doesn't seem, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert, you're the healthcare professional, but it doesn't seem that COVID infections are being prevented by these shots.
They're not. People are coming into the hospital and having prolonged hospital stays that are vaccinated. So I don't know what they're saying the benefit to the vaccine is, that if we do contract COVID, or we might not contract COVID, that we will not be as sick as unvaccinated people. And I've also seen some mild discrimination towards treatment on unvaccinated people.
What do you mean by that?
Just almost like a shame, you know, when they're getting talked to or getting their health care provided to them, that just seems to be the thing that comes out the most. Well, why didn't you get the vaccine? Well, what's your reason for not getting the vaccine? Okay, they're not there because they want a vaccine. They're there because they're seeking medical treatment.
And is the treatment itself being withheld from people who have made a choice after their own health and decided for whatever reason?
It's not being withheld. No, not at this juncture, but I think we're going to get there.
Okay. So as far as treating COVID infections at your hospital and what you have seen personally, what treatments are being used if somebody comes in and presents with mild COVID symptoms? If they walk into urgent care, come into the emergency room and they say, hey, I think I have COVID. They get tested with the unreliable, proven, debunked PCR test. They get a positive test. Are they sent home? Are they provided with things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D?
No. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No on hydroxychloroquine and no on ivermectin. There are some local doctors, I will say, that are prescribing ivermectin to their patients in an outside facility, but we're seeing backlash about that from ER physicians. As far as coming to the emergency room and seeking care, now, if you are not debilitated enough that you don't need a significant amount of oxygen, you can be sent home on usually steroids and an antibiotic of some sort. Now, if you come to the hospital and you stay, you get remdesivir, you get the works, all of the experimental medications that go along with the remdesivir, just the works.
So we have learned of recent that remdesivir is an unapproved experimental drug, that it is causing kidney failure. Have you seen these things happen?
Oh, yeah. Bad. It will cause bad renal failure. And it's usually irreversible.
Okay. And then are these patients placed on a ventilator?
Yes. Yes. Because your kidneys help compensate for your lungs, especially when you're sick. And since COVID affects your lungs so harshly, you really need your kidneys to help you get better. So when your kidneys start to fail, they can't compensate for the excess demand that the lungs are needing to get your body better. So you deteriorate pretty rapidly after that.
And is this happening to vaccinated, fully vaccinated people?
Yes.
Got it. So overall, what the experts on this program have been saying rings true in your facility, which is that firsthand you have seen many infected COVID patients that are fully vaccinated, that they don't do any better as a result of taking the shot or being inoculated, that remdesivir is causing major problems, and that treatment is being withheld, other treatments, FDA-approved treatments, Nobel Prize award-winning treatments like ivermectin?
Well, they don't want to give you ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. They're very inexpensive drugs. They're very old, inexpensive drugs. They're not going to make anybody any money if they give us what actually works. Or they won't make money off all of these hospitalizations.
Right. So coming up next, we're going to be talking to a hospital administrator who is blowing the whistle and saying that doctors are being threatened by national institutions that if they go outside of NIH or CDC protocol, that they will lose their license. Have you seen that in your hospital? Are administrators really running healthcare more than doctors at this point?
I believe so. I believe that there's definitely someone behind the scenes that's pulling the strings. We work at a smaller branch of our hospital, so the administration part of it kind of stays more into the city, so it doesn't physically spill into our view site as often. But I do know that there are administrators in our local hospital here that really don't want to comply with making us attempt to get vaccinated, because they don't want to lose seasoned good nurses. And there's a part of them that doesn't really believe in this either.
So I got about a minute left here. So are you being mandated at your hospital to take this shot?
Yes.
And you're going to be fired if you don't?
Possibly, yes.
And are you going to take this shot?
No.
Why aren't you going to take it? If you don't mind telling me, I know it's a personal choice.
No, but I don't mind telling you at all. How long in history, whenever we've seen viruses or illnesses that have caused plagues and deaths on humanity, it was years afterwards before vaccines came out. Smallpox, measles, mumps, those vaccines were years in the making. COVID came out, and then immediately after, what seemed like immediately after, we have, ta-da, a vaccine. We haven't isolated it. We haven't isolated it. So what is actually in this vaccine? I'm going to dare to say more harm than good.
Okay.
I don't trust it. I don't think it's ethical, and I don't think it's for the safety of my body, nor will I vaccinate anyone in my family.
And real quickly, you said that the reason that the media is telling you about the shortage is people are nervous or they're scared of the Delta variant. That's not true. I've never met a scared nurse, so that's why I'm asking. I'm not really buying that.
Well, not so much that nurses are scared, more so about their jobs, not more about the pandemic or facing the pandemic. They're worried they're going to lose their jobs. Many of us, our livelihood for our home comes from our nursing occupations. And I know some nurses that are going to go ahead and yield and take the vaccine, while others, we're strong in our ways and we're not going to. We're going to continue to protest. We're going to continue to fight. And we're going to continue to do what we feel like is best for humanity as a whole, not just in our area of working, but everywhere. You're seeing it in employers all over the place. They're mandating vaccines.
Well, as of September 3rd, and for whatever reason, the vaccine adverse events reporting system stopped counting 2 weeks ago today on the 3rd of September. But as of that date, it was 14,506 reported deaths. That is more than double every vaccine previously rolled out combined. And I don't blame you at all for not wanting to take it. I do thank you for your bravery and for your courage, and God bless you. Please continue to speak out, because people need to hear from you that what they're seeing on the internet, what they're seeing on the television, is absolutely inherently false. I got about 30 seconds left. Any final words?
I just want to thank you, and everybody, do your own research, and use multiple source engines. We're definitely trained now to not free think. So don't just take my word. Don't just take Stu's word or your neighbor's word. Do your own research. And don't just do research for an hour. Really dig into what you want to know, because this choice is about you, your future, and your body.
And your life.
And you have every right to be fully informed on whatever decision you want to make for your future. So do your own research.
Amber Lemons, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks.
Amber Lemons is a brave soul. And I'm telling you that I am so thankful for all of you healthcare workers that are coming forward. God bless you, because I know that it is very difficult to do. And we honor you for doing that. Seriously. I want to tell you about my good friends over at steponsocks.com. They bring you these segments. Steponsocks.com, one of the premier sponsors here on the Stu Peters Show. This company is founded by Patriots. So when you do business over at Step On Socks, you can guarantee yourself, and I can guarantee you, that you're doing business with 100% USDA choice thoroughbred patriots who love this country, love this constitutional republic, respect our constitution, and want nothing more than freedom in America. They recognize the tyranny that's happening here. One of the founders over there was a medical doctor in New York. She left a very comfortable living. She couldn't see it anymore. She couldn't take it anymore. And so that inspired her to start Step On Socks. Somebody, by the way, in my Telegram or on my Rumble channel, I think there was a comment, Stu, until you show us your feet wearing these things, I do it every day. I show you my feet every single day. The Step On Socks are the only ones that I wear on my feet right now are the Trust in God socks. Those happen to be my favorite. Get over to steponsocks.com right now. Get yourself a 3-pack of any of their versions for just $17.76, or maybe some silver, or maybe some Second Amendment flags. It's all over at steponsocks.com. A healthcare administrator blowing the whistle and comes up next as the Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, our next guest is Steve. It's just Steve, no last name given, because that's the era that we're living in. It's very dangerous to hold an unapproved opinion in these times, and it can be nearly as dangerous for one's family members. Hold the wrong opinions and you can lose your friends, your job, your house, your life. So yes, we can hardly blame Steve for wanting to keep his last name anonymous. Anyway, Steve works in healthcare administration and his wife is a doctor. In the past week, Steve has received 3 emails from the American Board of Family Medicine, the American Board of Internal Medicine, and the American Board of Pediatrics. Each of these emails states unequivocally that doctors should not be prescribing the drugs ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for coronavirus patients. Now, a lot of doctors believe pretty sincerely that these drugs can be helpful for coronavirus patients. At a minimum, they're both extensively tested drugs that are very unlikely to cause harm if prescribed in the right amounts. It doesn't matter. Doctors in Steve's hospital are being prohibited from prescribing either drug. He says that if they defy that order, they could be putting their medical licenses at risk, and by extension, their very livelihoods. Steve's message shows just how remarkably dangerous it is these days for a medical professional to voice an alternative perspective, but Steve is a brave person and he believes the well-being of the public outweighs his own personal safety, and I'm very glad to have him on today. Steve joins us now. I understand your anonymity request and we're going to honor that. So you work in healthcare administration. You've received these letters. Take us through this. So HCQ and ivermectin specifically banned. Doctors can't prescribe treatment that they feel would best suit their patients.
That's right, Stu. We're seeing that both in writing from the Federation of State Medical Boards, which govern medical boards in each of our states, which is where physicians' licenses are held or revoked across the country. And so they've said that spreading any misinformation or disinformation is ground for suspension or revocation of the medical license. Health systems are struggling financially. When they struggle financially, oftentimes the virtuous cycle gets replaced with a vicious one. And today the vicious economic cycle forces our health systems to sort of toe the line, because we're seeing it from Washington and everywhere else. And so in addition to boards threatening physician licensure, which is their linchpin to their livelihood, we're also seeing that come from the health systems as well, because DC has said this isn't safe.
So in looking at the letter, the issuer of this letter doesn't seem to really want to nail down what specifically they define as mis or disinformation. How dangerous is that?
Exactly. I mean, being specifically vague doesn't help anyone, right? But it leaves them open for lots of latitude on how they want to determine whether you're providing care within their supposed guidelines. Of course, they will always change. So it's hard to put that down. On the same token, to say, if you spread misinformation or disinformation with no definition, but if you do that, you will be up for revocation or suspension of your license and you'll be out of practice.
Well, this is a way that they can just blanket target everybody that they just don't like. If they don't respect your political opinion, if they don't believe that you should have the right to make choices after your own health on your own or what's best for your family after the research that you've done, personal accounts, things that you've witnessed, things in the news, that they can just target anybody that they want to. So the ban on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, in your opinion, is that going to cause a lot of death?
Absolutely. I think we know, we've seen lots of data that suggests there's lots of potential benefit and sort of documented benefit, but there also is also documented very little harm or risk. but it's been silenced. We do know of physicians who are actually actively under investigation by the board for having prescribed ivermectin. And that's really a disservice. Now that physician and others like that person are now really sitting with, a gag order on them, and their ability to practice is hindered because they've got someone looking over their shoulder every second of the day. They can't do what they think is in the best interest of their patient, which is really the ethics of medicine, right? First, do no harm.
So I'm just trying to wrap my head around this, Steve. A doctor who prescribed what they thought was best for their patient, in accordance with their Hippocratic Oath, prescribed ivermectin. That doctor has now been warned or advised that disciplinary action is imminent, and they have been gagged, prohibited from telling anybody about this?
Right. So they're under investigation by the board. They're having to take lots of spare time that they have, which of course they don't have, to prepare their position statement to defend themselves back to the board on their use of that medication. And it's totally appropriate that they chose to do that. That's really been their oath to do the best for their patients, and they have the prescribing authority to do so, or at least they did. And then now when you see that the language in these documents says, if you spread misinformation, which of course, talking about ivermectin as a possible source of success for you if you become COVID positive or want to prevent, would now be up for disciplinary action, including suspension or revocation of your license. They were treated as unethical or unprofessional conduct. Is how they
so you're a hospital, you work in hospital administration or healthcare administration. So specifically, you manage the goings on the business side of healthcare. Is that correct? Is that an accurate statement?
Correct. I've spent the last 3 decades of my life running physician practices and hospital practices as well.
Okay. So from an administrator's perspective, can you tell me why do you think it is that a Nobel Prize winning, FDA approved, tried and proven COVID killer would be taken away from the toolbox or the weaponry or the arsenal that doctors are armed with to treat patients on a case-by-case basis? I'm not saying that ivermectin is a blanket protocol for everyone, but certainly doctors should be able to go into their toolbox and access it if they feel that it's going to save their life.
Correct.
From an admin perspective, is that what we're looking at? Is this a bottom line issue?
This one's really a complex one, I'm sure, behind the scenes. I can speak from sort of running the business. And last year was an incredibly challenging year when COVID hit. Hospitals and clinics' ability to see patients were dramatically reduced. So revenue streams go down, costs continue. Big financial losses accrue. Everyone in the business, honestly, is so busy. Physicians are so busy in their work, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, that honestly, they don't have time to do much more homework. Sometimes what they're being told by the system as the science they're following is what they honestly will follow because they believe it's true. And not because they have bad intent, they're just flat swamped. There are others who actually believe it's true. They believe it actually would provide value, and they're being prevented from prescribing it. And sometimes that's maybe a health system or an employer that says that's not a product we're going to use. Or now it looks like it's the boards of medical practice who are saying that's not safe, that's not appropriate for you to use that. I think it's unfortunate.
So when you go to and you flip on the news and you watch Fox, for example, the propaganda machine that they have become, and maybe you catch a clip of Hannity, the 24-hour vaccine infomercial that he has become, and he's saying things like safe and effective, or he's saying something like go ask your doctor. Consult with your doctor could now actually be a dangerous thing to do because they've been gagged from telling the truth and threatened with the licensure that they hold if they do tell the truth. So really what you're telling me is that doctors have become walking zombies with stethoscopes. They're propagandists by every definition, and they're not telling the truth to their patients because they can't, or they will lose everything that they've ever worked for.
They're being prevented from doing that. And you see only a very few select physicians across the country and the globe who are willing to step out. I think a lot of those heroes believe in this message and that this needs to be out as truth, and they're willing to risk it all. And we're seeing those lawsuits, we're seeing their livelihoods and them as a person being attacked. Physicians are people too with lives, $300,000 to $400,000 in student loan debt after medical school, debts to pay, and they're under intense pressure. And when they've lost the ability to actually even talk about or consider therapies that really, we see plenty of evidence that says it's true. That's a shame. And yes, I do believe that people need to know that when they ask their physician, their primary care provider, what do you think about the vaccine? Or what do you think about treatments like ivermectin, et cetera? They actually aren't even able to answer that question other than to use the script they've been given or the kind of the marching orders that come from the board, which is you can't talk about that. That's considered misinformation, or at least might be. And so the minute you take away the fence, people don't know where the road is and the traffic is, and they're going to automatically step back from the road, and they're going to be back in their shell trying to do whatever they have to do to survive as well. And I think physicians have an amazing role to play in society, and I'm grateful for them. This is really a shame that they are absolutely gagged right now.
So most of the doctors that you're referring to that are putting it all on the line or coming forward, a lot of them don't work for large healthcare conglomerates. They have independent practices. And then the ones that do speak out, for example, Dr. Peter McCullough is now being sued by Baylor Scott & White for having an opinion about early treatment protocols and for warning against a vaccine that has proven itself to be dangerous and in many cases deadly. When I'm looking at this letter, the author of this letter, who I can't believe that somebody actually signed their name to this thing. I mean, this is astounding to me. But looking at this letter, the words safe and effective continue to be used. I know that you can't see it right now, Steve, but at the bottom of the screen is a ticker being displayed, the ticker of truth, that shows the vaccine adverse events reporting system data as of September 3rd, because for whatever reason, they stopped counting 2 weeks ago today. These numbers don't appear to reflect safe and effective. So what is the reason you're in administration? Are these doctors, are these healthcare providers being stipend? I mean, I just got to know, are they being paid off? Why the push for this thing?
That's a great question. I wish I knew the answer to it. Certainly today, the delicate balance of financial performance requires leadership in healthcare to walk this fine line of trying to make sure they can cover the bills, because oftentimes healthcare is a not-for-profit health system. So when you lose hundreds of millions of dollars, perhaps there isn't some magic savings account that bails you out. So you're constantly walking a fine line. So I have to believe that economics are a part of the picture, whether they are the answer or whether they are the linchpin to why we can't talk about these. I'm not positive, but it does, of course, as always, leaves me with a question mark. If you follow the financial trail, where does it lead?
So doctors, in your opinion, are aware that this ivermectin hydroxychloroquine could be saving lives?
Some certainly are. Some are very well aware of it. Many, I think, would love to be able to press into it more, but can't. And some, I'm sure, just don't believe in it because they've been told not to believe in it and haven't paid attention to the science. I'm sure, as everything, it's probably all over the board. But I do know of many who actually believe that there's some merit there, and it at least warrants dialogue, conversation, consideration, as science always would have allowed for. Debate and the evolution of science, as opposed to settling on the science that somebody has determined. And as we've heard Anthony Fauci say, an attack on Anthony Fauci is an attack on science. I think that speaks volumes right there. So I think at the end of the day, from the highest authorities in our country on down, the pressure is we're not going to talk about this. And I think it's sad that we have to depend upon the rest of the world. And Dr. McCary's statement in the Wall Street Journal the other day, I think, is a great indication of the shame that we have as a country for not pursuing truth, and other countries are pursuing it on a regular basis. And I thank God for them.
Yeah, I just read an article about India and ivermectin and the survival recovery rate of patients with COVID-19. We have doctors like Dr. Zev Zelenko in upstate New York, who saved thousands of lives, boasts a 99.9% survival recovery rate of high-risk COVID patients using things like quercetin, zinc, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and none of those people were prescribed remdesivir and thrown on a ventilator only to die. I've got about 30 seconds left here. What are your final words, Steve?
Honestly, I think Zev Zelenko says it well when he says, you know, this isn't from me, this is from God. He brought this to me. Honestly, this is a spiritual battle. This is fighting good and evil. The spiritual forces of darkness need to be defeated. We've got to be on our knees praying, and we need to be a voice who's pressing into this work. And when people feel like they're not getting the truth, you need to contact health system leadership. You need to contact the board's leadership at the state board level, et cetera, because your physician's being silenced, and that needs to end.
There is no acceptable justification for silencing doctors who have worked their entire life to preserve the lives of others. That is, by every definition, that is communist. And that shameful. That is not America. It's a disgrace. You're right. Steve, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. Have a great day. God bless you.
Now would be a good time. Got about 45 seconds here to do my daily PSA to remind you about Dr. Zev Zelenko's protocol. It's all in one pill. You take it twice a day. It's the Z-Stack. That's what he calls it. It's got all the ingredients that he refers to as the COVID killer, the quercetin, the zinc. It's all there in its right dosing. You don't have to worry about putting it all together. If you choose to, that's fine. That's up to you. But I like to push you towards the guy that has a proven success record. 99.9% survival rate among high-risk COVID patients that he treated. He saved thousands of lives there in upstate New York. So go to ZStackProtocol.com. Check it out for yourself if you're interested. ZStackProtocol.com, ZStackProtocol.com. Dr. Jane Ruby comes up as the Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. The hospital administrator, Steve, who was just on here, has vindicated us once again, confirmed our suspicions that doctors are being threatened. They're not allowed to talk about or prescribe hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, despite the fact that it might be the best treatment for that individual patient. It might save their life. Dr. Jane Ruby is here with us now telling us that this thing, this pendulum, just continues to gain steam, and now the feds have seized control of other life-saving measures.
Yes, Stu. A number of federal agencies are really acting like an organized crime syndicate, and I'll tell you why. I mean, the regime of Joe Biden, while his patience is running thin, he's apparently using the weaponized agencies to take over the distribution of the monoclonal antibody situation at a time when it's been saving a number of lives over and over. In place of, you know, pushing these lethal death shots, these toxic chemicals, and lowering the age for their administration down to babies, which is coming, by the way. So why do I say this? Because they're blocking the safe. First of all, they're blocking the safe and effective FDA-approved medications like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. That's number one. Now that monoclonal antibody centers have been set up all throughout the South, especially in Florida, we have unlimited numbers of them. Anybody can walk in. You don't need a doctor's order to get the treatment. Now he's starting to tighten the noose. And in addition to that, we've just learned yesterday that the Health and Human Services Department is seizing control, not only seizing control of the distribution of the monoclonal antibodies, but they're starting to say that they're going to review the doctor's orders for those doctors who do send their patients into those centers to scrutinize those doctors. So to me, that's practicing medicine without a license across all 50 states that regulate medical practice. This is crazy. We learned that in Texas, Judge Kehoe is very upset, posted something on Facebook to the effect that in Montgomery County, Texas, he received word that the Department of Health and Human Services will now be limiting or metering the number of doses of monoclonal antibody treatments that he gets in his county. And he's going to seek help from congressional leadership from his district in his county to stop this. It's just absolutely insane. And the other thing is, and we heard from Alabama, that the department is going to be limiting the number of doses that they get, whereas before they were sending it depending on what the demand was. So they would replace the doses as they needed them. And now you also saw Governor DeSantis yesterday firing back at Biden for politicizing this whole thing. And Stu, what I think and what I see happening here is that the southern states, which are predominantly GOP states, they're red states, they kind of, did not follow, or they turned their noses, if you will, up at the Biden regime when it came to indiscriminately just applying lockdowns, mask requirements, and things like that. And so now they're being politically retaliated against. All the red states, looks like the southern half of the United States is being punished for not complying with Joe Biden's patience, apparently,
let's just
that's
say
running
it how
out.
It is. It's political warfare, and they're intentionally trying to remove life-saving measures from people that don't vote for them. Basically,
yes,
that's what it is.
Yeah. And the organized crime part of it is not only are they blocking the safe and effective treatments that are really inexpensive, but they're pushing the death shot and they're limiting, if you will, and blocking access to something that is experimental. Monoclonal antibodies are not approved. They're still under emergency use authorization, but they've been showing incredible promise, especially down here in the South. And so they just can't stand seeing that, Stu. They've got to get their hands around it. They've got to limit it. And it's frightening people. It's pissing them off.
Just,
I don't blame them.
Think about what you're saying. I mean, really take a minute to digest this.
Yes.
Everything that is working is being criminalized.
And absolutely
the things
right.
that are killing people are being mandated. The shots, the remdesivir, the ventilators, these are the protocols that are everybody's being funneled into a death chamber.
Absolutely. And you know what else, Stu? When the government pays and is a purchaser of something like it is Regeneron's product, RegenCov, they have a lot of say in where the doses go. They're illegally, in my opinion, abusing the Defense Production Act to take control of this. But they're even taking, they're even exerting their blockade and their control over companies they're not purchasers of. For example, GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, is trying to ramp up production of monoclonal antibodies, and Eli Lilly, which is on the government's, you know, purchasing list. But these companies haven't even produced it yet. And the government's putting, edicts over them in terms of when it's ready. The Biden regime is controlling where it's going to go, how many doses. And, you know, they're not even using it in the northern, liberal states, the blue states, because those governors are being good little sheep, and they're blocking access at the state level through the departments of health.
We have a bunch of little Hitlers running around in this country applauding and promoting the death of political opponents that don't specifically agree with the only science that we're allowed to accept, which is the science of one Tony Fauci. It's just, who, by the way, stands to make a great deal of money through this vaccine that everybody is pushing you. The fact that the mainstream media is not talking about this, the fact that local affiliates, you know, here in Minnesota, I have KARE, Channel 11, Fox, which is the affiliate for the National Fox, Channel 9. I have KSTP, I have WCCO. These people are not reporting on any of these numbers. 14,000 people are dead. That's the only system that we have that we can rely on. That's according to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. We're not allowed to see the rest of them for whatever reason. Nobody seems to want to investigate that either. But none of them have mentioned this. That kind of death toll of Americans in this short of amount of time, and your media outlets are not talking about it at all.
No, and one other thing, Stu, the latest briefing document out of the FDA from a meeting just days ago between Pfizer and the FDA, they're getting ready to approve, watch this, the Comirnaty booster shot. It's literally going to be the Comirnaty booster shot. And I've told you before, I've told the audience before, there's a fourth booster coming, and we now know from the protocol that's buried, it's there, but it's buried in there, that there are four additional boosters coming. They're being tested right now. You know, they have free rein right now. If you walk in and get a vaccine, you're entering the trial, and you're entering the continuation of a simultaneous phase 1, 2, and 3 trial. Never before done. It's not legal from a FDA regulatory standpoint. It's just unbelievable.
And speaking
it's
of the FDA,
murder for pay.
If anybody here missed yesterday's program, just so you know, two top FDA officials left that organization because of this. They have now posted an article in The Lancet, a pretty important medical journal across the world, and said that these boosters could be even more dangerous than the shots that we have already seen, and they oppose them vehemently.
And Stu, the boosters across the different doses that you're not going to know what you're getting could be anywhere from 5 micrograms of this poison all the way up to 100 micrograms. People are going to start dying more rapidly.
Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much. We really appreciate the info. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Thank you, Stu.
Well, this week, no doubt, you have heard me talk an awful lot about PoisonDetox.com, and that's because I only have 1 week to get you these $5 bottles in your hands, this Pure Body Extra Cellular Detox. Let me tell you a little bit about the science behind this, okay? So it's an all-natural mineral. It's mined from the earth. It's cleaned, it's then remineralized, nanosized, and then suspended into water molecules using this sonic technology so it can travel everywhere throughout your body, and it exchanges a mineral ion for a heavy metal ion, which is then caged and escorted out of the body in just 4 to 6 hours, hence why many people notice such drastic improvements in a short amount of time, which is 4 sprays 3 times a day. Probably why I noticed. So when I contacted these people and said, hey, I would love to have your product on my platform, they said, well, you got millions of people. Of course we want our product on the platform. And I said, but what can you offer my listeners? So instead of $80 a bottle, which is what you're going to pay for any good heavy metal detox, they've discounted it to $63 on the auto ship, but they're going to give you your first bottle for just $5. So get your first bottle for $5 when you sign up for that discounted monthly shipment rate of $63, plus free shipping and a money back guarantee to boot. Do all the research on your own. Make a decision after your own health on your own at PoisonDetox.com. I'm arming you with the information. Do with it what you want. PoisonDetox.com. The Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, of course, in these dark times, it's not just questioning Big Brother Fauci's coronavirus guidelines that'll get you in trouble. Any kind of dissent is enough. Barbara Lunkenheimer is a grandmother of 5. She attended the January 6th rally in Washington, but it's very important that we note she did not go inside the Capitol building. But for that, she has been hounded ever since. After the rally, Lunkenheimer refused to talk to federal investigators. That's her constitutional right, by the way. And it's a right that a lot more Americans ought to exercise. As we learned in the Russia probe, when the feds want to have a friendly or informal interview with you, what they're really looking to do is trap you in a lie and then send you to prison. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Well, Barbara was smart enough to not play that stupid game, and the feds are angry. She's received a letter from the United States Air Force, a photo of which she shared with this program. That letter says that she is now not allowed to enter a military base because she's on a, quote, suspicious activity watch list. Just like one of the Islamic radicals from Syria might be on. So it's not just the TSA, and I think it's very important that we stress, this is the first time that we've ever reported anything like this. Americans are being put in federal NCIC databases. They're being denied basic freedom of movement when they haven't been charged or convicted of any crime whatsoever. And even when they were very obviously posing no threat at all. And here's another crazy part. Despite literally sending a letter to Ms. Lunkenheimer, the feds still refuse to confirm or deny that she's even on any list at all. After a story like that, I just had to speak with Barbara, and I'm glad to welcome her onto the show. She joins us now. Barbara, you can't go onto a military installation. Your movements have been restricted. Where's the due process here? How did all this happen?
Well, that's been my question from the get-go. Where's my due process? What did I do? Am I being investigating for a crime? I know I can sleep at night and speak about this because I know I didn't do anything wrong. You know, in fact, the FBI came and they said, oh, you're not in any trouble. And I see that as a big red flag. And they wanted my video footage because I was right in the front row on the opposite side where the inauguration happened. But, you know, they won't share the 14,000 hours of video with the American people. Right. So, yeah. So first, when I was flying a few times, they said that I was, it was a random check. And since I found out it was just from a TSA supervisor, a few of them, that it's just because I was in January, in DC on January the 6th. And I actually tried to fight people, which I believe that they were FBI, undercover FBI, trying to move and instigate everybody. And then they would go down about 30 feet from where I was. And they started it all up again, and that's where the gate was breached in the back. But that's just my opinion because it was just out of the ordinary. So yeah, so the TSA keeps saying it's random, and I know it's not. And my husband and I are originally from Cincinnati.
So that's when you were trying to fly. But what about this Air Force letter? How did all of this come about?
So my husband is a disabled veteran, Marine, and he's also a police officer, a federal police officer at that. And we wanted to go to the base exchange at the Air Force base. And we had to wait for a long time. People were leaving after we came in. They took my ID, and the airman that came out, she was a sweet person. She wrote on the piece of paper, suspicious activity watch list. She said to be nice. She said, but my name came up on the NCIC database from the FBI. And she told me directly that I am on the terrorist watch list. And I'm like, me? Who am I? You know, I've served the community for 30 years being a paramedic. You know, my husband's a police officer. I've never committed a crime in my life, never spent one day in jail. And this is how I'm being treated for, you know, I even left right after I saw, you know, National Guard and everything at DC, you know, start coming around. I'm like, I'm not part of violence. I want nothing to do with this. So now she said, I can't let you on the base because you're on this list. I'm so sorry. There has to be some mistake. Did you do something wrong? And I'm like, is this about January 6th? She goes, that's most likely what it is. And I'm like, so now if my husband if he has an appointment or a procedure on any military base, I can't take him. And I have to say, I grew up in a military family. My dad's retired Air Force. Both of my brothers served in the military, in the Army. One is retired. My youngest son's currently serving active duty in the Marine Corps. You know, my husband, like I said, is a Marine veteran. And I'm like, well, why little old me? But it seems like to me, FBI is just throwing a fit because I told them unless they had a warrant, I wasn't going to speak with them. And that's basically what it is.
So exercising your Fifth Amendment right to not speak to them has resulted in the sentence of a crime that you've never been charged with, presumably never committed, and you're facing a sentence. You're executing a sentence right now. Your movements are being restricted.
Zero due process. Zero. And I don't know what to do. I don't even know where to start.
Have you asked anybody how to get off of this list?
You know, they're just saying, you know, contact your congressman, contact your senator or whoever. But you have to understand, Colorado was fraudulently stolen in the 2020 election, right? So now it's all blue. So there is no way anybody is going to help me that's in the government. You see how the Secretary of State treats the clerk in Mesa County about the election, you know, and I don't even know where to begin. And, you know, I had another supervisor, like I said, I'm not going to get off of it until we have a new president. So what makes me mad, I could play patty cake with TSA all day long. It takes me about 2.5 hours to get through. And I always hold my pocket constitution in my hand going through the second scanner. And I had one TSA agent say, well, I need to look at your little book. And I'm like, it's the Constitution. Would you like to read it? Right. And then our luggage didn't come. So I must upset somebody. But it's like, what else can I do? I'm not going to back down. If anything, you know, it strengthens my resolve that I must be doing something right because I love my country. I don't want to see it going down the path it's going.
Would you ever terrorize this country? Would you ever commit acts of violence against the United States?
Absolutely not. And I've gone on record saying being violent in any way, shape, or form is not going to get us anywhere. It's not going to get us anywhere. You know, and I remember making a Facebook Live video and I'm like, I'm out of here because I'm not down with any violence. That's not what this is about, you know. And, you know, like I'm expecting my fifth grandchild in 2 weeks and we're going to have to drive to Cincinnati and You know, it's like, I don't want to deal with TSA, but it's like, I don't mind, but it's just getting groped, you know, by TSA, going through two scanners, having them go through every single.
Well, I mean, that's one thing that we're all kind of subjected to, you probably a whole lot more. And there are a lot of people that report right. just being a Republican
or a Trump
supporter.
But now they're messing
supporter.
With me and my husband.
Right. And that is yeah. extremely concerning that your
Absolutely.
Everyday movements are being restricted and that you're actually in. I mean, this is the first time we've ever reported anything like this. The first time I've ever learned of anything like this, that there yeah. is an NCIC database full of criminals who have not committed a crime.
Yeah. And if I could tell you, I looked at the NCIC database and it's for criminals, terrorists, gang members, and missing children. That's what NCIC is for. To check anybody if they have an outstanding warrant.
So which one of those categories does the grandmother of soon to be five, Barbara Lunkenheimer, fall into? I think none of the above.
None. Maybe wrong place, wrong time, but I have no regrets being at the Capitol building. You know, it was not an insurrection ever. But, you know, I can deal with this other stuff, but now you're messing with my husband who needs care, right? And I grew up on military bases, you know, and I know I've never served in the military myself, but I know generally how it works, you know, how to get on the base, whatever, go to the base exchange. You know, like, for instance, I wouldn't be able to go visit my son in North Carolina yeah. on the military base. And this is ridiculous.
I'm out of time and I got to yes. run, but I'm going to be contacting and reaching out to the people that I know inside of Colorado government. And we're going to try to work on this on your behalf, at least from this show's perspective. And also, we're going to put your representatives' phone numbers all over social media inside of an article at Red Voice Media, StuPeters.tv, inside of my Telegram. And we're going to flood those switchboards with phone calls because we're going to stand up for you.
I sure appreciate
Barbara
it.
Barbara Lunkenheimer, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you.
Mike is offering the sale of the year. You'll receive 50% off his Giza Dream Sheets. Just go to MyPillow.com, and you will receive a set for as low as $49.99 with promo code STU. Or call 800-262-2403 and be sure to use STU at checkout.
So what do you do when your financial advisor, the person that holds on to all of your money, controls all of your investments, has your entire financial future in their hands, ends up in the hospital, ends up being filled with remdesivir, thrown on a ventilator, held hostage and left for dead because they don't have a good doctor that knows about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or refuses to treat individual patients based on their choices, their right to try? What happens when your financial advisor is locked up, hemmed up, and is not even breathing on their own? Where does that leave you? That's the subject of our Money Minute today with Carlos Cortez. He's the independent fiduciary founder and CEO at Cortez Wealth Management, a chief sponsor on this show. He's our in-house financial expert. Carlos, I mean, this seems to be a pretty realistic scenario that a lot of people might be faced with. And if they have a financial advisor that doesn't have a good doctor like you did to overcome the COVID-19 or whatever set of symptoms it was that you had, you were treated with the Z-Stack from ZStackProtocol.com and ivermectin because you have a great doctor. But what happens when Joe Schmo, his financial advisor, hasn't prepared, has a crappy doctor, and he's being slammed full of poison and killed?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. That's actually a real threat right now. And back in February, Stu, you and I had a segment on Financial Friday basically saying, what are the questions you should be asking your financial advisor? One of them is, who's trading your account? Who's straight up trading your account? And that's huge. If you're laid up in COVID like I was last week, and it was only by God's grace I was saved, We have everything set up here at my firm. Everything is actually set up where if anything happens to me ever, if I get shot, killed, or ran over, the show continues. Our clients are protected. We have things that are in place to self-run and self-adjust accordingly to the market. So I was proud that I was on a deathbed. I rose, God saved me, but all my clients were fine while I was incapacitated for a week or so. And you should ask your advisor, you know, are you on ivermectin? What are you doing to protect me? And that's a real, real good question to ask.
Yeah. Is your financial advisor taking the early treatment protocols and the prophylaxis that's recommended by sane people to stay healthy? That is a legitimate question. Carlos Cortez, by the way, call him in the office anytime, 813-448-3446, or visit him online at CortezWM.com. Be a client of his and know that your money is safe until Monday. At this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it because we're the ones that's used to it. And I will do it all weekend long, and that is pray for you. You are in my prayers. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radar.